There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Just to let you know that that man, Lewis Hamilton, has taken pole just down the road from us. Danny Norton will have more from him in this third and final hour of The Grill, broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Bharasti. A beautiful evening in Dubai, a beautiful evening in Abu Dhabi. It looks quite nice in Rotherham as well.
It certainly does, Tom. Yeah, 78 minutes on the clock. I wasn't quite sure where you were going with that. But yes, it looks a bit nippy, as we would say up in Scotland. A little bit cold, but it is Rotherham 1, Sheffield United 1. Of course, no early kickoff in the English Premier League. That is why we have to talk a little bit about Rotherham and Sheffield United. Rotherham starting the day in 19th in the Championship. Sheffield United, such a fan of what Chris Wilder has done with that football club. He did a fine job at Northampton. He's doing a good one as well at Sheffield United. They did lead through Mark Duffy, but Rotherham levelling things up just a few short moments ago to bring themselves back into this game as we head into the final 10 minutes or so. If things stay the way they are, Sheffield United will be fourth. Rotherham will move up to 18th. A bumper edition, bumper games coming up. I can tell you as well, it was John Taylor that levelled things up for Rotherham. And up in Scotland as well, it remains Hamilton 0, Celtic 1. Ryan Christie, fine footballer. He was on loan last season at Aberdeen. I've seen him up close and personal. Good footballer, him. And he's proving in the last few weeks that he does have a future and can become an integral part of what Brendan Rodgers is doing at that football club. But 64 minutes on the clock at the new Douglas Park, it's Hamilton 0, Celtic 1.
Italy against New Zealand has just kicked off over in Italy. No points in that one as yet. Gallagher Premiership, three games underway as we fast approach the midpoint of the second half. Exeter lead Gloucester, Sale lead Northampton, and Wasps are in charge against Bristol. Premier League coming your way in 50 minutes' time, and we're going to Vicarage Road, aren't we?
We certainly are, yes. Watford against Liverpool. That is our featured 7pm match on Dubai Eye 103.8, and I'm delighted to say that our man, he's Talk Sports man, but we always love catching up with him on a Saturday evening. Adam Bridge is your man calling all of the action. And before we talk Watford Liverpool, Adam, I've got to ask, how was your night with Matt Le Tissier, aka Phil Tufnell?
It was very good, actually. He's a very funny man. He could do stand-up, actually. I think that would probably work for him. He was very entertaining. And before we do start, I want to know if either of you two have ever actually been to Rotherham. Because based on that last conversation, I don't believe you have. Because regardless of whether the sun's shining or not, it's still hell on earth.
I do sincerely hope there is no one listening in from Rotherham, and if there are, they might just agree with you, Adam, as well.
They can't afford to go to Dubai, my friend. They can't afford that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. No offence meant, of course, by Adam, if anyone is listening in from Rotherham. But talk to me about this game this afternoon, Adam. Really looking forward to it. Watford have had a wonderful start to the campaign. Liverpool trending in the right direction. We spoke to you a few weeks back and we were saying that this Liverpool side, perhaps not as cavalier as the Liverpool side of last season, but a good game nonetheless this afternoon.
Yeah, it's an intriguing one, isn't it? Because like you say, Watford won five of their last seven games at home. They took United fairly close. They were very impressive in defeating Spurs earlier in the season. And then you've got a Liverpool side coming. They've kept seven clean sheets. And if they keep a clean sheet to that, it'll be their best defensive start to a top-flight campaign ever. So we can see where the improvements have been when you go back to the opening day of last season when it finished 3-3. And very much Liverpool's defensive issues were under the microscope. I guess now there's more people having a little look at what's happening going forward. You use the phrase not so cavalier. I mean, Firmino's not delivered in the last seven games. We know that Mo is a little bit behind where he was this time last season. And actually, they found themselves relying on Sadio Mane, who is probably the in-form player out of those three. They're obviously going to have half an eye, I think, on PSG on Wednesday night as well, although he has picked a strong starting 11 today. So I think it's going to be an intriguing encounter. I'm not expecting the cavalier 3-3 of last season, let's put it that way.
Talk to us as well about Javi Gracia and the job that he's done at Watford, Adam, because it's been a bit strange for me. Andre Gray, Troy Deeney starting the season on fire, then Gerard Deulofeu working his way, and Isaac Success, the wonderfully named Isaac Success, getting a bit of run of games in the last couple of weeks as well. This Watford side very much trending in the right direction, playing some lovely football as well.
They are, and I think they've got a little bit of strength in depth as well, which maybe is what's been lacking in the past. success is, as you say, starting to come to the fore. He's on the bench today, actually, having started the last four games. Kapu comes back in following his suspension. So what they've got is that central midfield duo of Kapu and Decore, who, you know, physically are as strong as anybody else, but also they can play football, which I think is one of the key things for those two. And then you see the impact that Will Hughes has had and Pereira has had throughout this campaign, feeding into Gray and Deeney to start with, and now De La Feu and Deeney. But I mean, the other key thing there has been this resurgence of players like Craig Cathcart and Mari Apa, who are making that defensive positions their own. They've got some real quality running throughout that side. He's had his chance to get stuck in with them. I mean, 20 points from their opening 12 games is their best ever start to a top division season. So everything moving in the right direction, this new three-year contract as well. And let's not forget Ben Foster, who was a magnificent addition, picking him up from West Brom. A wonderful, experienced, solid goalkeeper who is providing them with a wonderful base for that team.
Absolutely, no doubt about that as well. And this game, of course, coming off the back of an international break, Adam, it'd be remiss of us not to get your thoughts on England's performances. The UEFA Nations League, is it coming home?
I hope so. Listen, I think the Nations League has been brilliant. I did Scotland last Saturday in that victory against Albania, and what an impressive Scottish performance it was. I turned up thinking we were going to be mocking them throughout the game, but actually we had to give them plaudits and praise. And I think it just shows what that competition has done. You know, meaningless friendlies with nine substitutions were doing nothing for any of these young players. But the ability to play against top teams game after game and also have something on the line has brought out the very best in not just England, but in the likes of Scotland as well. You know, the home nations have got huge issues generally. It's nice to see two of them dealing with those issues, bringing through young talent. You just talked about Christie, obviously Forrest and stuff for Scotland as well. You look at the players that have come through for England too. Not so great for the likes of Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland and Wales, I think, a little bit unlucky. But the whole format of this competition is just allowing these players to feel more competitive football. And if you can get a trophy at the end of it for England in Portugal in June through those finals, then why wouldn't you want to put them through that experience and to bring home a bit of silverware?
Yeah, I read somewhere as well, that was England, the first time in 601 competitive games that England came back from a deficit to win in the final 15 minutes of a match. Just put into your own words, if you can, Adam, just the effect that Gareth Southgate has had. I know we've touched on him a number of times with you over the past year or so, but again, watching them, I'm loving the fact young players have been given a chance. Jadon Sancho coming in, so excited with he and his development over there at Borussia Dortmund. But this England, they're trending so much in the right direction right now. You can't help, and I'm saying this as a proud Scotsman, you cannot help but be impressed with how he's galvanised it first and foremost, but there seems to be a plan, and not only that, they're then executing it on the playing surface as well.
Yeah, the pool of players he's got to choose from is vastly greater to what obviously some of the other home nations have, and I think that shows for starters. I think the key is what he's looking for in players. He's not looking about players who necessarily are delivering great success in the Premier League or on that kind of stage. He's looking for players that he believes has got the right attitude, the right ability to play. He had some really tough decisions to make in terms of the makeup of that team, particularly defensively. I think the most impressive thing from him is the way they learned from what happened in the summer. You know, he knew he had to play that system of playing three at the back. He needed that system because that was the best way to get his best players into the team and to get him through that World Cup. But he also learned against Croatia and against Belgium as well that wasn't the way to play. That actually a flat back four and to be more combative and more pressing was the way they could mix it with these bigger sides. And what he's done is he's developed that and he's taken that on into this Nations League tournament. And again, against the USA, when he brought the youngsters in, you know, different personnel, but they played the same way. They played with the same style. They played with the same intent. They played the same pressing and with that same kind of pace on the break, which was so telling. And that, for me, is the way Southgate is learning and adapting this team and these players into a cohesive unit that actually are finding their own feet now and finding a style that is England's. Having said that, they scored, of course, from a throw-in and a free kick. But never mind, those things will happen as well. The fact they created so many chances through good football throughout that first half, for me, is what's really encouraging.
Yeah, very much so. The shoots of optimism are, they're there for England. There's no question about that. Coming back to today's game, if we can, the featured match, it is Watford against Liverpool. I've got to press you. I'll get the prediction from you in just a moment, but put us in the picture with team news ahead of this big one.
Three changes for Watford. Then Messina, Kapu and Deeney come into the starting lineup. Olibas is having a terrific season. He's missing with a calf problem today. Chalobah and Success have gone down to the bench. So it's fairly familiar back line with Kiko and Cathcart, Mariappa and Messina across the back, Hughes, Decore, Capu and Pereira in the middle, Delafeu and Deeney leading the line for Watford today. Strong Liverpool side. I'm quite surprised he's not rested more, if I'm honest with you. Alisson's in goal. It's Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk, Lovren and Robertson. Then it's Shaqiri, Henderson and Wijnaldum. Salah, Firmino and Mane making up the rest of that Liverpool starting 11.
Yeah, it's a strong Liverpool 11 as well. Slightly surprising, Shaqiri, Firmino, Mane and Salah. So he's thrown caution to the wind, is Jurgen Klopp. Last one from us. I know it's you and Franny Benali alongside you in the commentary booth for this one, Adam. Prediction time. Watford going to get something out of this?
I think they will. I think it'll be 1-1 today. I think they'll be half an eye on what's going to happen with PSG. Watford are really strong at home. They've got a really nice attitude about them. They play some nice football. But again, trying to break down that Liverpool defence will be tough. So I think we'll get a scoring draw today.
Yeah, I'm with you, Adam. I really am. And I can give you a quick score update from the hellhole that is Rotherham. It's Rotherham 1, Sheffield United 2. And that's Adam's words, not mine. Adam, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the game. Looking forward to your commentary from 7 p.m. this evening.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
Big thanks to Adam Bridge for joining us live on the line. Stay tuned for full match commentary just after 7 o'clock right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It will be that game that we've just been talking about, Watford against Liverpool. And then straight after that, we'll be into the late kickoff, which sees the London derby. It is Spurs against Chelsea. That one, 9:30 here on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. We'll be down to Abu Dhabi in just a few moments' time. Let's just put in the picture of some live scores, though, if we can, because we are underway with the autumn internationals. Italy taking on New Zealand. We are 22 minutes into that one. And Italy, the home team, doing well to contain New Zealand at the moment. New Zealand lead by 5-0. So that solitary, unconverted try, seeing New Zealand with that first half lead over Italy. Meanwhile, ongoing over in the Gallagher Premiership, 20-6 is how it stands between Exeter and Gloucester. Gloucester did lead that one, only for Exeter, the home team, and top of the table to come back strongly. Sale lead Northampton by 10-5, and Wasps are in control against Bristol. It's 18-7 there. What about this? The Guinness Pro 14 game. Cheetahs have been trailing Benetton throughout, but it's an absolute belter of a game into the last few moments of that game as well. And Cheetahs lead Benetton by 26-25 as we speak. Football obviously getting ready for the Premier League, but there has been football already today. There is football ongoing as we speak.
Yes, there is indeed. Let's start with the earlier kickoff over in Spain. That will be the story that will dominate an awful lot of headlines, not just in Spain but across the globe as well tomorrow morning, because it finished Eibar. Yes, Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. A huge result that, for so many reasons. Unheralded, minnows are Eibar, let's be frank about it. Real Madrid, we had thought they had turned a corner, not a jot of it. Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. Goals from Gonzalo Escalante, Sergi Enrique and Kike have given Eibar a famous victory. Questions yet again will be asked of Real Madrid and their brand new manager, let us not forget, Santiago Solari. 4 wins in 4 as a caretaker, he's 0-1 as a permanent boss, a 2.5-year deal for him. Up in the English Championship, it's full time over at Rotherham. In fact, it's not, it's just the game remains ongoing. 3 minutes deep into stop time, and Jamie Proctor has just rescued a point, I think, for Rotherham United. It's Rotherham 2, Sheffield United 2. Mark Duffy had given Sheffield United the lead. John Taylor levelling things up after 66 minutes. Chris Basham, just 6 minutes ago, gave Sheffield United what looked to be a winner, but deep into stoppage time, Jamie Proctor has rescued a point for Rotherham. Up in Scotland, it's finished at New Douglas Park. Hamilton Academical 0, Celtic 3. Goals from Ryan Christie, Scott Sinclair, a rejuvenated Scott Sinclair as well, and the substitute Lee Griffith has given Celtic a dominant victory. Kickoff over in Italy as well. It is Udinese taking on Roma. Yeah. Minutes old there, 23 in actual fact. It's Udinese 0, Roma 0. German games kicking off in not too distant future, no. 5 minutes or so, and Premier League kicks off at 7. So if you love your football, club football is back. I'm excited. You should be too.
We can't wait. Get yourself down here to Barasti to be part of the action. Plenty of sport to look forward to. In fact, it is something of a sporting weekend because it's the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
from Yas Marina Circuit.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
Danny Norton is our man on the track down at the Yas Marina Circuit. He's just witnessed qualifying. We, of course, saw Lewis Hamilton take pole down there. Was he good for it, Danny Norton?
Oh, my word. Was he good for it? What a question. Absolutely incredible performance from Lewis Hamilton, grabbing his 11th pole of the season, his 83rd in total during his career. And what a way to do it. A new track record for the Mercedes man right here at Yas Marina Circuit. 134.794 the time for him. He's taking it as a point of pride this season to keep winning, even since clinching his fifth world title. It says a lot about the man himself, doesn't it? Hamilton beat his teammate Valtteri Bottas by 0.2. So Mercedes locking out the front row. How much would they love to wrap the season with a 1-2 tomorrow? They haven't done that in the last three races. The Japanese Grand Prix at the start of October was the last time Mercedes got a 1-2. By the way, that 1-2 for the qualifying is a new record for Mercedes as well. Get this. It is their fifth consecutive front row lockout at the Yas Marina Circuit. That's the first time any team has managed that level of dominance at one track ever in Formula One history. So what about that for some consistency from the Silver Arrows? Sebastian Vettel of Ferrari, he just couldn't extract enough pace in the final sector. He finished in third ahead of his Ferrari teammate, Kimi Raikkonen. Red Bull grabbed the third row. Max Verstappen, he had to abort his final lap. He ended up in sixth position behind his teammate, Daniel Ricciardo. Romain Grosjean, Charles Leclerc, Esteban Ocon, and Nico Hülkenberg rounded off the top 10. Also, it would be remiss of me not to mention the two-time world champion, Fernando Alonso, who leaves the sport after the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix tomorrow. He's going to start from 15th position, and I think you'd have to say that's probably the best he could have hoped for from his struggling McLaren car.
Yeah, if there was any doubts, Danny, as to what to expect at this Formula One race, we know the Drivers' Championship is all wrapped up. You only had to look at Lewis Hamilton's celebrations in that cockpit when it was confirmed that he is on pole, an 11th, as you say, pole of the season. He wants it, doesn't it? It's not just another race for him tomorrow. He wants to go out with a bang. He wants that victory tomorrow evening.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned it earlier on, didn't we? You know, he's at the top of his sport, as are the other guys, because they do have that never-say-die attitude. They want to win at everything they do. And he might have already wrapped up the world title, but he wants to go out on top of that podium. Whilst the likes of Sebastian Vettel, he's determined to prove a point at the end of the season, which you would have hoped he would have been challenging all the way to the end. It didn't quite happen for him, despite a good first half of the season. So he'll want to end on a high going into 2019. Lewis Hamilton, speaking immediately afterwards, said, "It's the last qualifying in this car." And he says it's the closest car he's been in with as well. It's been a privilege to work with her this year. He said he's had lots of fun. And what a swan song for the season he's having to round off his fifth championship crown. Sebastian Vettel, meanwhile, said he did improve. He felt the track ramped up, but not quite enough to be a threat. But tomorrow, he says, he is confident. And he says it should be a good race there. So he was certainly sounding upbeat after finishing third in the qualifying there. Ferrari, you will have to remember, they were quicker than Mercedes yesterday in the practice sessions on the longer run. So the question remains, can they pull off something tomorrow in the race itself? I think I heard you mention earlier on, Chris, that the Yas Marina Circuit, we do have to be honest, it is not the easiest track on the calendar to overtake on there. But with this kind of a competitive nature that we have here, with all drivers determined to go out on a high, with a lack of maybe team orders as well, it's got to be said. You know, with all being said and done, the one thing it does help with is teams aren't really going to be barking out orders for one of their two drivers to maybe move out of the way for their other driver. All drivers are just out there, kind of every man for themselves kind of attitude. And it's going to be fascinating tomorrow, especially with the tyre strategies as well. So Mercedes, Ferrari and Daniel Ricciardo of Red Bull, they all set their quickest laps in qualifying two on the ultra soft rubber, which obviously they will now start up. But that does mean Max Verstappen, who go from sixth, he'll be on the faster pink marked hyper soft. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there tomorrow. So I think we're in for an absolutely real treat. The lights go out at 5:10 tomorrow there. It is, of course, a day-night spectacular. It's the one race of the year which starts in daylight, ends under the floodlights there. So the changing conditions of the track,
as we go from the heat under the sun to the kind of coolness of dusk means that I think we will have an exciting race, no doubt about it, at Yas Marina Circuit this time tomorrow.
Lewis Hamilton, obviously the talk of the town on the track. Now, Danny Norton, we know you love your sport. You were talking a little bit earlier on. Is it to be Sam Smith or is it to be Liverpool? What's your decision, sir?
No, it's going to have to be Liverpool, you know. I mean, if it was tomorrow night, the Guns N' Roses, it might be a bit of a different proposition. But, you know, I mean, Sam Smith, yeah, fan of him. A lot of good songs there, but, you know, it's Jürgen's Beautiful Reds, and we're going for that Premier League title, aren't we? So, you know, I'm looking forward to listening to the game live and exclusive here on Dubai I-103.8 on my way back down to Dubai.
Good on you, fella. And obviously, you love your sport. That's why we got you down there reporting for us. We also know you are something of a party animal as well. And that's one element of the Grand Prix, is all the boats yeah. around the marina, the after parties as well. So what is the hottest ticket in town, do you understand? What is the boat to get on at the moment?
I mean, the yachts that are up here are just absolutely incredible. I was actually having a look at some prices, not to go on myself, actually, but yesterday I was just quite curious to see how much it would cost there. I think some of them are maybe around about 10,000 dirhams could be to have it the whole weekend there. Some of them could be about 3,000 dirhams for an after-race ticket for the most, you know, the fancier of the yachts there. Obviously a little bit out of my price range as well. I'm not too sure the kind of clientele they'd be looking for either. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. No matter who you are, no matter what kind of budget you've got, there's something going on down here, like I said before. So much happening around the village. There's activities for kids, there's activities for the real hardcore Formula One fans who can maybe give a go of doing a tyre change, a pit stop, you know, where you can get taught exactly how to do it and then you can race against other people as part of a team there. There's so much to get involved in here. There's the music, not even just the likes of Sam Smith as well, obviously the global superstar that he is, but we've got the stage right here in the middle where there's been entertainers on throughout the day. There's been acoustic sets being played. Really, is I can go on and on and on, but just basically get yourself down here to check it all out.
Thanks, Danny. We'll have updates from you and, of course, the rest of the team throughout the remainder of the weekend. For now, though, our thanks to Danny Norton, live from Abu Dhabi.
From the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
This is Dubai I 103.8, live on location. This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
So let's just put in the picture of what's been going on in the world of sport today. We've focused a lot on the football, we've focused a lot on the rugby, but lest we forget as well that we've had plenty of cricket. How did it finish in the two games that are ongoing, the two test matches that are ongoing at the moment? We'll give you the stump scores from both of those as England take on Sri Lanka, and Sri Lanka collapsed in their first innings a little earlier on today. They were all bowled out for 240, having been in a strong position, lost their last seven wickets for not many runs at all. Sri Lanka all out for 240, so England back in their second innings. They're three without loss, which means they have a lead of 99 runs with 10 wickets remaining and 3 days still to be played. Meanwhile, here in the UAE, Pakistan taking on New Zealand, day one of the second test match. And Pakistan, 207-4 is what they finished at stumps. We've got a result from earlier, Bangladesh taking on the West Indies in their first test match in the West Indies tour of Bangladesh, this one being played in Chittagong. Bangladesh won by 64 runs, 324 and 125 in response to West Indies 246 first innings and 139 all out in their second innings. Meanwhile, just underway in the first of two games from the T10 over in Sharjah, the T10 league up and running, with matches 9 and 10 to be played today at Sharjah. The first of those is the Sindhis against the Pakhtuns, and it is Pakhtuns who are in at the moment. They're 20 without loss from one over, because that's just what happens in T10 cricket, isn't it? So that's what's happening over in Sharjah. We'll do a bit of golf for you, a bit of tennis for you, we'll do all sorts for you, but there's also boxing, isn't there?
We're going to go to mixed martial arts, Tom. We're going into the octagon because two UFC Hall of Famers are set to meet tonight at the Forum in Inglewood, California. That's right, it's the trilogy for Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. Both of these gentlemen are coming out of retirement for a six-figure payday for the third fight, and what we hope to be will be the final fight between these two greats.
We are very, very excited to announce what is a monumental event. Bringing these guys back to settle the score, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, these two fighters are legends.
Me and Chuck Liddell were boys, but he sold out, he showed his true colors. People say you shouldn't talk about money, but this is a business.
Yeah, I like it. Tito's the perfect tune-up fight. He's one of those guys that makes it real easy to train for.
This guy is ignorant, this guy's stupid.
He's afraid of me. I'm better than him at every aspect of the sport. All I'm going to concentrate on is ending him. Probably the first round if he actually comes at me like he says he's going to.
I'm ready now. We're not friends, we're enemies.
I know he's hoping I'm a shell of the man that I was, because that's the only way he'd have a chance.
This guy thinks I'm afraid of him. Come on, dude. I just want to get redemption, you know?
I'm excited to be back in the sport, and I'm excited to prove to everyone that I'm not too old. You can do anything you put your mind to.
On November 24th, when we get in the cage, you'll realize who I truly am and how much better of a fighter I am than him.
This guy is getting knocked out, and I am going to enjoy it.
Well, there you have it, Chris McCarty and Tom Urquhart. He's getting knocked out, so why are they even fighting tonight? Man, you know, I love these guys growing up. They've been retired now for quite some time. You see Chuck Liddell, he went out with four losses. He got knocked out real bad by Rich Franklin in his last fight. That was back in June 12, 2010. Wow. That's before I was even that's when I was in college. Holy cow. Tito Ortiz, he's been out of the game for a long time as well. His last fight, you have to go back to Bellator 170. He did come out and go against Chael Sonnen. He won in that fight, so that was last year, but his last fight before that was 2015. So we have the third and final fight, what you think would be the third and final fight, Chris McCarty, between two Hall of Famers. Which way you see this one going, huh?
Oof, given the fact you've just told me that Liddell's been out of action since 2010, Ortiz fought last year, you'd have to say Ortiz, right?
Right.
I mean, that would be where the kind of safe money is.
That is the safe money. However, Chuck Liddell is 2-0 against Tito Ortiz. He's never lost to him, so he does have the I guess, a little bit of a competitive advantage maybe inside of his head coming in.
Are you going to watch it tonight?
I think I will get up and watch this one, just because I did really like Chuck growing up. I like to follow his career and whatnot. If you notice at the real beginning of that, at the very beginning of that clip, you might have heard a familiar voice as the promoter for this fight. That was Oscar De La Hoya. This is his first fight where he's venturing into MMA. He's coming outside of boxing, his Golden Boy Promotions, which has done well. They have their Canelo Alvarez, probably the hottest fighter in boxing right now, but they're stepping inside the octagon with the California State Athletic Commission. Both these fighters are winning a flat purse for this fight, so it does not matter if they win or lose. They're getting paid the same amount. So would you walk in the ring and take a hit from Chuck Liddell for $200,000, Hummer Cup? Yeah, you probably would. Chris McCarty.
$200,000. Yeah, I probably would as well.
And it's Liddell's the A side of the card. You have an A side of the coin, B side of the coin. He's going to walk away with $250,000 for this fight. Both of these guys will get a little bit extra according to the pay-per-view sales. So there you have it.
Lots going on there. Lots going on in other sports as well. World Cup. I thought the golfing season was over.
No.
So what's going on now? They've got the World Cup of golf going on.
The World Cup, yeah. It's Belgium, I believe, who I've been keeping one eye on. I'm sure Robbie Greenfield is
lead.
Glued to his television screen watching. England had a great first round, but it's the Belgian boys, yeah, Thomas Peters and Detre, right?
Thomas Detre, yeah, the two Toms taking a 5-shot lead into the final round of the World Cup of Golf after a 9-under-63 in Melbourne. The pair who had 3 birdies and an eagle in 4 holes during the round 3's 4 balls are 19 under. Mexico's Abraham Anther, who won last week's Australian Open, shot 65 with Robert Diaz to move joint second with South Korea and Italy on 14 under. England's Tyrrell Hatton and Ian Poulter are joint fifth on 13 under. But is this a sanctioned event? I mean, is this a points getting win or not?
I'm not, to be very honest with you, it's not something that I have kept up to date with, Tom.
It is,
to be
though,
honest.
Isn't it? Because I think we were talking to Chris May about this last week, and there's the fact that, you know, that was the season-ending race, the DP Tour World Championship season-ender, but points are available from this weekend.
Yeah, in Hong Kong. So a lot of these players might have just a perfect way to wind down, right? It's a World Cup, nice to fly the flag for your country. I mean, it's in Melbourne as well, so the boys would have jumped on a flight from here and headed on down to Oz. A lot of the players, though, on the European Tour are in Hong Kong, because that's the kind of farcical thing of it. The season ends in Dubai. A week later, the new 2019
These golfers
season,
get no break. Tell me a sport where they get shorter breaks than the golf.
Some would say that golf's not exactly a hardship, and I wouldn't be in that camp. It is a sport and all the rest of it, but it's not a bad life to travel the world. But absolutely, right, give them the rest of the year off, start 2019 season in 2019, but the European Tour clearly have different ideas.
Just to bring you up to date with the Hong Kong Open, third round obviously has been completed. There is a lot of rain in and around this tournament at the moment. England's Aaron Rye will head into the final day of the Hong Kong Open with a six-shot advantage and on course for his first European Tour title. Rye is just 23 years old. Followed a course record 61 on Friday with a 270 on Saturday to extend his lead with one round left. South Korean Hywon Park hit a 3-over 75 to slip further behind Rye, a three-time Challenge Tour winner. Tommy Fleetwood moved alongside fellow Englishman Matt Fitzpatrick at 10-under after carding a 4-under 66. So golf is back up and around, as is the tennis as well. And Croatia look like they're closing in on their Davis Cup title. Croatia moved one rubber away from winning their second Davis Cup title after taking a command against France in Lille yesterday afternoon. So Croatia, Davis Cup. Amazing, isn't it, how Davis Cup still maintains its position in what has to be one of the most jammed calendars.
Yeah, it's changing, isn't it? Gerard Piqué. Yes, you heard that right. Gerard Piqué, the footballer, has come with a consortium. They're changing it up now, the Davis Cup. They feel that it's a little antiquated and they want to bring it kicking and screaming very much into the 21st century. I do find, though, with the Davis Cup, Tom, there was a spell where it was almost like the next step, right, for all of these players who have won Grand Slams. It was another little trinket to have on their mantelpiece. You've seen Andy Murray win it with Britain. Roger Federer took it seriously for a year, won it with Switzerland. Novak Djokovic has won it with Serbia. Rafa Nadal has won it with Spain. And I think Marin Cilic is probably putting a little extra stock into it so he can say, listen, hey, I've won the Davis Cup for my country as well. But it will go through a bit of a makeover in 2019.
They have to figure out a way to make it appealing to the fans. Yeah. I remember when Andy Murray won it with England. You think about think about England during that year. England did horrible in the cricket. England was doing horrible in the rugby, and they come out and they win the Davis Cup, and you don't hear any. No one from the UK was getting excited about it. You barely even knew about it.
And that's why I think there has been this idea to transform it, to make it that little bit more interesting. In actual fact, the other biggest issue the Davis Cup's got, it's longevity, in the sense that it starts, and because it's kind of truncated, it's obviously various junctures. What they're looking to do with this new rebrand is pencil 2 weeks out in the calendar and have everyone flying in one destination and do it properly like that, where you get your Switzerland, your Spain, your Serbia, your UKs, etc., all involved in it. So look out for that next year. I think back end of the year, I believe it will be in 2019.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and, of course, hand you on over to Adam Bridge and all the team ahead of our live coverage of Watford against Liverpool. That's coming up just after 7 o'clock. We'll wrap things up down here from Barasti after.
Let's go!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Put a couple of goals over in Germany. We'll bring you up to date with those in just a few moments' time. Me and my big mouth, though, talking about the rugby a few moments ago, saying, Italy are doing really well to hold New Zealand. Yeah, they're doing really well. Well, they were. And now they're getting battered. It's Italy 3, New Zealand 24. Again, it's just that New Zealand extra gear they have, isn't it?
And coming off the back of a defeat as well, Tom, I did feel that there would be a bit of a response and an emphatic one at that, and they will go through the gears now. You're right, they've got 2-3 and then they can crank it up, and into that final 20 minutes, I expect that to be a hefty, hefty loss for Italy come the end of that 80 minutes.
Laidlaw's just nailed his penalty to see Scotland take an early advantage against Argentina. So early advantage, they've been playing for 20 minutes. That is Scotland 3, Argentina 0. Exeter still lead. Gloucester, Sale are in charge. Just ahead against Northampton. And Wasps are still beating Bristol, but only just. Big fight back by Bristol. It's currently Wasps 32, Bristol 28. And that Cheetahs game down in South Africa turned out to be something of a classic. The Italian team, Benetton, were leading for much of the game. Cheetahs, their rally towards the end, and finished up Cheetahs 31, Benetton 25. What's happening in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, goals aplenty in the early stages. Mainz 0, Borussia Dortmund 0, Augsburg 0, Eintracht Frankfurt 1. The man on the score sheet there, Jonathan de Guzman, the Canadian international. Bayern Munich lead Fortuna Dusseldorf by a goal to nil. Nicolas Süle on the goal scoring sheet there. Hertha Berlin are 2-1 down, 80 minutes gone already. In that one, it's Hertha 1, Hoffenheim 2. Goals in the opening 10 minutes from Derebe and Kramaric had given Hoffenheim a 2-0 lead, but the Bosnian Vidad Ibezovic has pulled one back, so it is Hertha 1, Hoffenheim 2. Wolfsburg 0, RB Leipzig 0 as well. So early stages in the Bundesliga, goals aplenty.
We're having a little chat on there, off air, I should say, but earlier on, the boys up here, about the antics on rugby pitches before internationals. We've just got the pictures come through from Twickenham ahead of England against Australia. And there's still another 10 minutes to go before kickoff.
And they started it 4 minutes ago.
Look at the red carpets and all the bands out there, the whole lot. And the fireworks have started.
The flags.
So my argument to our listeners, I guess my statement I said to Chris McCarty and Tom off air is, name another sport out there that has more of a build up prior to kickoff than rugby. I don't think there is one. You look at cricket, you look at basketball, you look at even the NFL, which is a production in itself. But even with the NFL, you come out, you sing the national anthem, and boom, they go straight to the coin toss and kickoff. Rugby, we have national anthems, we have flags, we have guys coming out of the tunnels, holding hands, shaking hands. Then we have the haka. We have a dance. I mean, then we have a preamble if you're playing in Australia and why you can play in Australia. It's a 15-minute thing. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Obviously, from a marketing's perspective, they must be doing something there to extend it. But I think it's very unique to the sport of rugby.
We're getting ready for that game of rugby. Meantime, though, T10 is underway, and underway somehow as well. Look at this one. So we've got the Pac-10 taking on the Cindies at the moment. Cindies won the toss, elected to field. Bad decision. It is 63 for the loss of 2 wickets after 4 overs. Obviously, it is. And we've just had a wicket. Shafiqullah, who was the man who was causing all the damage, he was 45 from 16 balls, including 4 fours and 4 sixes. He's just gone caught by Geoffrey Archer off the bowling of Ben Cutting as well. So Archer and Cutting combining to do for Shafiqullah, which sees David Willey come to the crease to join Andre Fletcher, who's 18 from 11 at the moment. We obviously have got plenty to look forward to right here on Dubai Arena 3.8 throughout the remainder of the evening. Football fans will be well catered for because Premier League is coming your way. See any problems for Liverpool at Watford today?
Yeah, I do. I'm with Adam Bridge. We spoke to Adam, who is your lead comms for that one, a little earlier. He's backing a 1-1 draw. I think Liverpool drop points in this one as well. I really do. I think Watford are good on their own park, off the back of the international weekend as well, given the fact that Liverpool have a must-win game against PSG in midweek as well. I fancy Watford to get something. So I'm going to go, I'll stretch a little bit. I think it could be 2-2.
I'm just going to keep a quick eye on, because obviously that's your feature game, but all the goals from all the other games, and there's some fascinating games being played at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
All the goals as they go in will be brought to you as soon as they happen right here.
Yes.
On Dubai Arena 3.8. Stay tuned for that. Just having a look through some of the team news that are coming through at the moment. Brighton have made 4 changes to the team that lost to Cardiff before the international break. Fit again midfielder Pascal Gross plays for the first time since the 1st of September, while Bruno, Davy Proper and Bernardo also come into the side. Jamie Vardy is among the Leicester substitutes today at the Amex this afternoon. Shinji Okazaki replaces the 31-year-old striker in the starting lineup, while James Maddison and Vicente Ibora also come into the team in place of Ghazal and Wilfred Ndidi. So that's Brighton against Leicester. That one's off at 7.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. Fulham, Southampton, Claudio Ranieri making his bow as Fulham boss. Of course, he was appointed as their new boss. Slavica Jukanovic losing his job. Manchester United against Crystal Palace, the team news from that one. No Luke Shaw. He is out. Whether that's injury, I'm not quite sure. But Matteo Darmian comes in from the cold. And Romelu Lukaku back in to lead the line for Manchester United against Palace.
Claudio Ranieri made his first selection for Fulham. He's made one change to the side, which lost at Liverpool before the international break. French playmaker Jean-Michel Seri is recalled. He replaces the injured Andre Frank Zambo and Anguissa. Easy one to say in midfield. It is Fulham against Southampton, and under pressure, Southampton manager Mark Hughes is without injured captain Ryan Bertrand and top scorer Danny Ings to make matters worse. So he brings in Matt Target and Charlie Austin. Good old Charlie Austin back into the field.
Charlie Austin back to lead the line for Southampton. That will be a good match, no doubt about that. Fulham against Southampton. Watford, Liverpool, we've touched upon. And then West Ham, your beloved Hammers, Tom. They take on Manchester City, top of the table. The big team news there is it's a frightening side. There's no Bernardo Silva for City, so it's Gundogan, Fernandinho and David Silva, and then it's Sterling, Aguero and Leroy Sané. Fabian Delph will start at left back for Manchester City, so that brings you bang up to date. Good luck, West Ham, is all I say.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris McCarty. Good luck to you. That's it from us. So England against Australia on the pitch over at Twickenham. The national anthems have started. You stay tuned though, because you've got Watford against Liverpool. That's coming your way in just a few moments' time. Keep it locked here on Dubai Eye 103.8 for Watford against Liverpool, to be followed straight after that by Chelsea against Spurs. Ross Christ, enjoy your evening. Thank you.
Can't wait. Steelers 1:25 in the morning tomorrow morning. Get up early. Beat the Broncos.
Chris McCarty, enjoy your sporting evening.
Thank you very much. I have already reserved a table down here at Barasti.
I know you're getting evil eyes.
I am. I'm well aware that I'm getting evil eyes, but that table is reserved. I'm heading off to get that table right now.
We will stick around for the rugby, stick around for the football, and much, much more. We're live here at Barasti. Big thanks to all the team down here at Barasti. Get yourself down here to watch any of the sport throughout the weekend. And thanks again. We'll be back next weekend between 4 and 7. Till then, ta-ra.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.